You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 3 John. We started a series last week on biblical finance, okay? Not to be confused with just the word prosperity. I know there's abuses with that word, and I think prosperity is a biblical word, a scriptural word, and it's right to preach. But I think it can be preached wrong, and it can be preached right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The idea that God wants you poor is foreign to the scripture. God does not want you poor. The idea that God wants you greedy, hello, is also foreign to the scripture. God does not want you greedy. So there's a line there where you don't lust after things, but then God does not want you poor. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you rich, as it were, if your heart's right. And so last week we just went over some common scriptures that often, you know, are used against you prospering at all. It always amazed me that if the world's the only one who had the money, how would we preach the gospel? How would we build buildings and support missions? How would we put on a hallelujah night and have a food ministry where we provide? See, the church was always a place of provision. It was a place where people came to get help. Nowadays, the church is constantly in the need of help. And it shouldn't be that, not our church, and not all churches. I mean, there's some that do get a hold of it. But God wants you to prosper. He just wants your heart right, that's all. Those scriptures often used to make it sound like God does not want you to prosper are scriptures like 1 Timothy 6:10 we went over last week. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say the habit of money. It said the love of money is the root of all evil, which ones, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, if you love money, yeah, you're going to get in trouble, no question. But you can have money, not love money. You can have money and help people. You can have money, build, support missions.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
Then another scripture often used over in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where he says that you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches. And so we often say, well, see there, you can't have money and serve God. No, it says you can't serve money and serve God. Hello? So if you start putting all that together, you can't love money and love God. You love God and have money. You can't serve God and serve money. You serve God and have money. You can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you.
Yeah, that's right.
And by that, I mean you're doing the right thing with it. You're a giver, you're a tither, you're a helper, you're a blesser of humanity. You're trying to help people. You know, don't you want to help people? I do. The idea, and this is often said spiritually and so piously and so humbly and so wrong. They'll say, well, Lord, bless my four, no more. Lord, if I just have beans on the table and clothes on my back and a roof over my head, I'll just be happy. Well, see, that's all selfish because that's just concerning you. It ought to be along these lines. Lord, help me help someone else. Lord, get me in a position where I'm not just concerned about me and trying to pay my bills and just trying to get by, but get me in a position where I'm prospering and I'm able to help the guy down the road, or get my house paid for and help somebody else get their house paid for. Or I got my cars, I'm helping somebody else get a car now. See, it's more than just you. Get beyond yourself. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch.
Yeah.
If we're all poor, we're just going to keep being poor. And God doesn't want you to be poor no more. Are you out there?
Amen.
He wants somebody to get out of the ditch.
Yeah.
And why not us? Shouldn't be the mafia. Shouldn't be the drug cartel. Shouldn't be crooked politicians. No offense to our good ones, Betty. Okay. Hello, it shouldn't be crooked lawyers. There are good ones, I guess. Anyway, no, there are. Stay with me. Come on. The money, you know who ought to prosper? The church ought to prosper. Why? Because we're going to help people. But we don't need to be lusting after the money. That's the thing. So that's why he says, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And you can't serve God and serve money. And then over in Matthew talks about, in Mark 10th chapter also, he talks about this. He says that how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? It's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and a rich man go to heaven. And he was talking about a place in the gates of the walls of Jerusalem. They often called that the needle's eye because at night they closed the gates. And so the only way you get in the city was to go through one of those low archways. And the only way you get a camel through there is to unload everything off the camel and push them through the needle's eye. Now, if you live there, you know exactly what that was about. But not being Jews, being from Elmo, Frog, and Edgewood and Wills Point, we didn't understand the culture. So what you're saying is there's a picture, there's a teaching there that a camel had to kneel down and had to unload its burden in for to get into the city. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven, that trust in his riches. You got to be willing to unload. You got to be willing to give it all away. You can't have your, nothing can have you except him. Nothing can have its clutches on you except God. And you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. So God wants your love. Love of money is root of all evil. God wants your service. You can't serve God and serve money. And God wants your trust. Amen. Pure and simple. Those were priorities. Those were matters of the heart. God's more interested in your attitude than he is your possessions. The richest man in the world is a man that God made rich. Solomon. God's the one that gave him the riches. Go read up on that. He just asked for wisdom. His heart was right. And God gave him riches more than anyone ever had. So, you know, it's not riches that's the problem. It's our attitude. Our attitude should be, Lord, bless me. Use me. Prosper me so I can help others. How many of you would like to give more? Amen. Well, a couple of you would. Yeah, rest of you need to pray. How many of you would like to help more? Amen. Well, sure. Is it a sin to be poor? No, but it's a sin to want to stay there. Is it a sin to be sick? Of course not, but it's a sin not to try to get well. See, don't twist what we're saying. We're not saying it's a sin to be poor. No, it's not a sin to be poor. Bad times happen to everybody. Sometimes we get sucker punched and fall on hard times. But the sin is wanting to stay there. The sin is not trying to get up. You know, I heard it said one time, this guy said, I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. Amen. And so, you know, maybe you're been knocked down, but just get up. Let's be in a process of getting up. If we've been knocked down. But listen, don't stay down. A righteous man falls 7 times, the Bible says, and he rises again. Amen. So we're not saying crisis doesn't happen. We're not saying bad things don't happen. We're not saying you're never going to have another crisis. But we're saying God's will is to bless you. God does want you saved. Yes. Amen? He does want you saved. He does want you to have a good marriage. Doesn't mean you're going to have one. Doesn't mean it's all going to work out. But if you will apply yourself to God, if you will call on God, if you'll do some of the things he said to do, your life will get better. Amen. It really will. That's his will. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And so we ought to be shooting for what God desires. Amen? Woo! Y'all found 3 John. Yeah. Yep. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 3rd John, notice what it says here. I'm going to talk about some priorities. Everybody say priorities. Priorities. And then we'll get into God's will is prosperity. And then we're going to talk about things like budgeting, saving, borrowing, cosigning out of the Bible. Not all today, obviously. But we're going to get into some of those things. And we'll talk about giving and tithing and all that. This will be a series that we're going to deal with some things. If you've obeyed God in giving, that's good. But you need to obey God with handling the money that you have. You say, well, I thought this is church. I thought we're supposed to be spiritual. Well, we are. And this is spiritual. Spiritual is what God says. We think spiritual is just speaking in tongues and just prophesying. But actually, spiritual is just obeying God. Paying your bills is spiritual. In fact, that's a good witness to do that. Yeah, a couple of y'all thought that was awesome. Yeah. But God wants to help you. He wants to help you with that. And really, it's through wisdom that we prosper. It's not something that just falls on us. God actually gives us insight. This is a Bible, a book full of principles that help us to handle our finances. I don't think it's so much the amount of money we have, it's the management of the money that gets us in trouble, isn't it? Or the mismanagement of it. And God will help you manage it. We ought to be praying for money. We ought to be praying, God, give me wisdom. Help me do this job better. Help me with customers. Help me with this business. Help me as an employee or employer. Lord, bless this business, because he blesses the work of your hands. Isn't that right? So living by faith is not living without a job. Living by faith is living according to the Word, doing what the Word says. Now, I understand there's people here that are retired, and you've worked, and you're getting retired. I understand that. I got that. I'm talking about, when we talk about work, we're talking about those that are able to work, those that are still working. If you're retired, you've worked. And if you're on Social Security, you're not living off the government. That's your money. Don't let anybody kid you about that. If you're getting a Social Security check, listen, you work for that. That's money you paid in. You know, so, you know, people say, well, he's just living off the government. No. The government's been living off my money for years.
Right.
And now I'm finally getting just a smidgen of it back. Hello. Okay, now. Let me calm down. 3 John, let's know what it says. Notice what it says, 2nd verse. What it says, what it doesn't say. It says, beloved, I wish above all things, King James, New King James says, I pray. Most modern translations do say I pray. Because the word wish, really, in the Greek, means to pray. It wasn't, they didn't wish. You know, this is not Disney World. Come on. When I wish upon a star, you know. Was that Jiminy Cricket that did that? I don't know. But we're not wishing and hoping here. We're praying and believing. Amen? And John was saying in his heart, he was praying for this church. He was praying, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
So there's priority. First things first. You know, we want to start with our heart. Start spiritually in the sense of my spirit. Get right with God. Get saved. Get my heart right. Work on integrity and character and all those things. But as my heart prospers, so does my outside prosper. Amen?
Amen.
And that's really the gauge of it. If you're going to submit to God, if you're going to be a better person, if you're going to have more character and you're going to love people and you're going to obey God, do be a good person according to the Word of God, then that is going to be seen in the natural. It's going to come out of the inside of you. You're going to be living out your salvation, as it were, and your salvation is going to be known and seen on the outside. Because if your heart prospers, then you will prosper on the outside. Some people say that's all that matters. Well, it's not just a matter of all that matters. This is a principle that has consequences. If you're going to love God and get your life right, it's going to help you financially. If you're going to jump off the roof, you're going to hit the ground. It's just the end result. It's just the consequence of serving God. If we love Him, if we truly are obeying Him and truly doing what He says to do and making sure we're right with Him, amen? Okay, even as your soul prospers, then you'll prosper on the outside.
Yeah.
The best thing for your marriage is get your heart right. Do you know that?
Yeah.
The most prosperous marriages are people whose hearts are right.
Yeah.
It's not so much about finding the right person, it's about being the right person.
That's right.
Amen? You could take it in business. You could take it in any area. Prosperity, success is not just money. That's what we're talking about here specifically. But it carries over in every area of our life. If we're going to have a prosperous church, if we're going to have a prosperous marriage, a prosperous family, if you want that, then you got to get right. Because
yep.
This is the thing I have the most authority over, me.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. If I get this me right, then everything else gets right. When you get in position, the blessing will come. I heard T.D. Jakes preach one time about Adam and Eve. When God put Adam, it says He hadn't caused it to rain on the earth. He caused a mist to come up and water the earth. But then it says after He put man in the garden, that's when rain came. I believe, of course, it came in Noah, but I thought the point He was making was pretty good. He said when man got in position, when man got right, the rain came. Now, in your life and in your world, if it's dry, if there's no move of God, if it just seems like it hadn't rained a long time in your life, your marriage, your business, whatever, you know what? You need to get right. Because when you get in position, the rain will come. Amen?
Amen?
It's not that God hasn't been trying to help you. It's just you hadn't been there to receive it. You know why Tony Romo's doing so good? That's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for you ladies. Anyway, he's doing real good because his receivers are in position. Okay? Of course, he's got a line. He's got a front line that he's having time to look around. But see, if your receiver's not in position, it doesn't matter how good you are at throwing the ball if they're not where they're supposed to be. And I think we hadn't been in position. I think God's very accurate. He never misses. He always throws it in the right spot. We're not hardly in the right spot.
Right.
Every once in a while we show up, you know. But He's there all the time. He's always on. We don't turn God on. We don't make God move. God's always moving. He's always on. He's always good. He's always blessing. He's always doing that. He's always forgiven. But, you know, we're not always where we're supposed to be. So we don't always get forgiven, and we don't always get blessed, and we don't always get an answer because we're on the other side of the field. We're supposed to be over here.
Amen.
So what he's saying, if you get your heart right, first of all, let's do first things first. Okay, if you're going to go to school, you got to go through first grade. Can't skip it. Got to go through first. Sorry, just the way it is. You got to go through first and then second and then third. Well, first things first, priorities when it comes to money or anything else. You want a better marriage? You want your wife to come back? You want your husband to come back? I don't know if they will because we all have wills. But I do know this. If you don't get right, you got no guarantees. If you get right, you're in better position for that maybe to happen. Well, they just need to do this. They just need, no, you need to do this. We don't have authority over people. We have authority over ourselves. Amen? And it's amazing how better everybody gets when I get right. Isn't it? I mean, really, people that just give me pain, grief, and misery, and agony on end, it's that old hee-haw song all over again. I've got another generation here. I got to have to change my, yeah. Talk about something more current like I Love Lucy or something. But anyway. It's amazing people that give me trouble, pain, grief, and misery when I get on my knees and determine I'm going to pray for them every day. They get nicer. My attitude changes.
Yeah.
And it changes everything. It doesn't mean they're going to get perfect. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything just right. But they're a whole lot easier to deal with when I'm right. From my standpoint. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm a lot better received when I talk to them, when I'm not just mad at them all the time, and so on and so forth. Anyway, finance is pretty simple. First get right with God. But listen, let's don't stop there. Let's don't stay there. Let's don't stay in the first grade.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody ought to go to first grade. But if you're 20 years old and you're still in there, we got a problem. You need to go to second grade. Amen. So God has a purpose in saving us. And the purpose in saving us is not just to go to heaven. God has saved us to be a witness and a light and to be an example, are you with me, and to make a difference. Come on. So he saved us to help us. He saved us to deliver us. He saved us, of course, to forgive our sins. Of course, we're going to heaven, but we're not even going to heaven permanently. That's temporary. Do you know that? Heaven's not really our home. This new earth down here is going to be our home, and there is going to be a new earth that we come down to and live forever and ever and ever. This is what we were made for, and this is where we're going to live forever. Think about it. And we were made to rule, made to overcome, not to be ruled and overcome by every circumstance and everything that comes along life's way. We've let the world rule us, and we should be ruling the world. Not each other, but instead of being under the circumstance, we should be over the circumstances. And that's a process, amen? That's a process of trusting God and staying right with God, and then learning those principles and acting on those principles. See, when God talks about prospering you, he, I know it's terrible, but he actually tells you to do something. We're going to get into it. You know what God's number one way of prospering you is? Work. Four-letter word, work. Yeah. We don't really like to hear that, but really that's his number one way of prospering you. Now, I understand as you get older, you retire, and you get retirement and Social Security and all those things. But I'm just talking about we kind of shun that, and we look away from that. We kind of leave ourselves out of the supernatural provision of God, and yet we're always involved in the provision. We're always involved in the process. If you want people to be better toward you, be better toward them. If you want people to love you, love them. It always comes down to you doing something, doesn't it? There's always a human element in the miracles of God, whatever they are. And so if I'm having trouble with finances, I need to be praying, God, help me handle finances. Give me wisdom concerning finances. I'm coming to you with a pure heart. I want my heart right. And then from there, prosper me. Let's get the priorities straight. Amen? And then let him prosper us. Turn to Matthew 6. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God's will is prosperity, no question. But prosperity with a purpose.
Yeah.
I think about all the missions we're supporting, you know, and I think about a Hallelujah Night and the food ministry and all that. Well, that's money. That's gold turned to souls. I love that. God wants to turn gold into souls. Prosperity has a purpose. That we shouldn't want to prosper just so we can have more things. There's nothing wrong with having more things. Nothing wrong with having a nicer house, a nicer car. But how many cars can you drive? How many houses can you live in? We should have an ultimate goal of, yeah, I want to get my house paid for. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home and a nice cars, and nothing wrong with that at all. I think God wants us to enjoy life. But my ultimate goal is I want to be in position to help others. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Now that's priority. That's my heart being right. I want to leave an inheritance to my children's children.
Amen.
That's scripture. That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, you brought nothing in this world. Can't take it with you. Well, yeah, but you can leave something here when you go. You can be concerned about your wife and about your husband or your kids or your grandkids.
Yeah.
Are you out there? Okay, and that's just, well, I would want to prosper for that. That would be, inheritances are awesome if you're on the receiving end of them. Anybody ever got an inheritance? Somebody worked for that. Somebody worked hard for that. Somebody, God bless somebody. Somebody prospered someone for that to come. And hopefully you use that for the glory of God. Amen. Okay, Matthew 6 chapter. In this whole chapter, he's talking about the heart. That's what he talks about through the whole chapter. He talks about giving to poor people. He talks about praying and praying in sick. He talks about fasting. And then he talks about not worrying about your finances. Oh, boy. You ever laid awake at night worried about finances? Okay. God doesn't want you to worry about your finances. You should trust God. You should believe God. You should do everything you can and believe God that He'll take care of you. That's an effort. It's a discipline, but God wants you to be free of that. In fact, in this section where he leads up to this verse that I'm going to get to, he talks about take no thought, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Who shall be clothed? And he talks about the sparrows. He says, consider them. They don't toil. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And he talks about clothes. He says, consider the lilies of the field. He said, now even Solomon, all of his glory, is not arrayed or clothed like one of these lilies. And then he said, shall not God also clothe you? O ye of little faith, how much more shall not God clothe you? Are you not much better than these lilies, which today is, and tomorrow is cast, it's burned in the oven, it's gone? Then he leads up to this verse, in the 33rd verse. And he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, 33, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All those things that you're worried about, clothes, food, Starbucks, you know, whatever you're concerned about, whatever it is that you're worried about, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He didn't say they were wrong. He didn't say they were bad. He didn't say they were evil. He just said, you just need to keep your heart on me and not on them. You need to seek me and not them, and I'll give you them. I mean, what we call the Lord's Prayer. I mean, not the Lord's Prayer. The 23rd Psalm, Lord's Prayer, even it talks about this too in the 6th chapter. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't it say that? But the Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. That's not poverty. That's prosperity. That's plenty. God wants to bring you into the land of plenty.
Amen.
You've been living on barely getting by street. And then you might have moved to just enough street. God wants to move you into more than enough street. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
If your heart's right. Hey, I don't have a problem. Give me millions of dollars. Go ahead. You got $1 million you want to give to somebody? Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. I don't believe it's going to corrupt me. In fact, I'm thinking of missions and buildings and all kinds of things right now we could do with that for the kingdom of God. Are you with me? I'm thinking of doing more, reaching further. See, that should be our heart and our attitude. And if that's straight, priorities. If our soul's prospering, then even as our soul prosper, we'll prosper on the outside. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. There are benefits to serving God. God, I know it's crazy, but God really does love you. Crazy about you. God really wants to prosper you. Anybody have any kids? Don't you just love when your kids can't make it? Doesn't it just thrill you when they lose everything they got? I mean, goodness, it just makes your day, doesn't it? It's wonderful to know that your kids are just struggling and not doing well at all. You're so proud of them. You just tell everybody about how bad they're doing. How much more? Are you with me? How much more? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Jesus said it in Matthew 7 chapter. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father Amen. Give good things Amen. To them that ask him?
Yes.
Truth be known, it not only is something God will let you have, prosperity, it's something that pleases him to prosper you.
Amen.
We'll get into some of those verses. Hey, turn to Deuteronomy 28 chapter.
Yeah.
Y'all getting this? That's good. I just want you to think about this and kick this around, because we've heard a lot of things that sound spiritual, that sound pious, that sound humble about prosperity. And prosperity, I know, has been abused. I understand that. But I think poverty has been a lot more abused than prosperity. I think in most churches, we're taught to be poor. We're taught not to want anything, not to have anything, and just be happy with just what we have. Well, sure, I think we should be happy in the sense that I am satisfied and I have peace no matter what I have, how little or how much. I am glad to be saved. I'm happy to go to heaven. But I am believing for God to prosper me so I can do more and reach further. I'm not unhappy where I am because I don't have all that I think that I could do and all that I want to do. I have peace no matter what state I am content therewith. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4. He went on in the same chapter and said in the 19th verse, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Said that in the same chapter. In fact, even where we see that verse, 1 Timothy 6:10, where it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it, the lust of it, is the root of all evil, which while someone have coveted after, have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through many sorrows. Even in that same chapter, that's the 10th verse, the 17th verse says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. So God does want us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us to be beggars and poor. In fact, he told us to go give to the poor. If they're in the will of God, we should leave them alone. Are you with me? But he wants our heart right. Amen? He wants this right first. He wants our heart. If we get this right, woo, man, God will bless you. No question. He will bless you if your heart's right. And you're trying and believing God to help other people. I know that's why God's blessed us. I know as a church body, to me, it's really phenomenal, it's supernatural that we are where we are today and do what we do today in a church this size, in a city this size. We've always been maybe in a small town, but we've never had small town thinking. I know God has always taken care of us because we've always thought about reaching out. We're big on missions. We're a mission-minded church. You know, a lot of the speakers we have through are missionaries. You ever notice that? They have mission programs. Terry Mize and Jean-Paul, you know, comes through and different ones come through. Goodness, though. Sammy and Martha and the Loopness, Carl and Marina Loopness, just different ones we have. We're always having missionaries come through because we're supporting missions around the world. These flags represent countries that we actually support monthly, you know, missions. And then our outreaches like the food bank and the Hallelujah Now. And I'm always talking about that. But see, to me, that's prosperity. When we talk about prosperity, I talk about all the things that we're doing and reaching out. Well, we couldn't do that, and it's phenomenal to me. It's supernatural to me when I think about God supplying the needs for all that. I mean, we go through thousands of pounds of food every week at the food bank, and it hasn't been a strain on our church. We're not in debt over it. Yeah. And we're building coolers and putting in new freezers. All it seems like we're always expanding that thing and to make it more efficient and so on and so forth. But God loves that. See, God makes sure we have plenty because we're giving because our hearts are right as a church. We're not, all that money's not spent on buildings per se. I mean, we hadn't spent a lot of money on buildings. You know, nothing wrong with nice facilities, but we just wanted to get a facility built to house people, and the people's what it's about. Because our heart's been right, God has made sure we've had plenty. And we are a prosperous church, no doubt about it. Out of debt since 1997. But there's a reason for that. It's because we've been aggressive with our missions. In fact, there was a change in our finances when we got super aggressive with our missions. Here's Ron, who's an elder in the church, and Mo's an elder in the church. We got together years ago, I believe it was 1995, and we were struggling in some areas in our church with finances. We had a debt on the building, and we had 3.5 acres, one building, gravel parking lot. And we decided, hey, here's what we're going to do. I mean, I'd heard God on this, and I met with him, I said, we're going to increase our missions. Well, that's not the thing you do if you're in trouble, naturally. You're going to give more? What are you talking about? We've got these debts. I said, we're going to increase our missions. And Ron, absolutely, just God had spoken to him about a missionary in particular. In fact, it was Walt and Eva. And says, I believe we ought to start giving them so much a month, blah, blah, blah. I said, yep, sounds good to me. I mean, that's set with my spirit. And we got together and we prayed. And we started increasing our missions. I think we gave like $8,000 that year to missions. The next year we gave 16. 16 or 20. The next year we gave like 32,000. Woohoo! Next year we gave 58,000, I think is what it was. I believe we got those figures right. And then the next year we gave over 100, and we've been getting over $100,000 a year for years now. Now, what happened was our finances started increasing because we started increasing our giving. I'm just talking about a church. I'm not going to take an offering after this. I'm not trying to pull you for money. I'm just telling you about what our church did. You pray, you know, hey, that's, I'm just teaching as by example. We are where we are today, I know without a doubt, and can take you back and show you the year. We know this is the fact. When we started increasing our missions, we started increasing our offerings. We didn't have any fundraisers. We didn't have any pledges. We didn't harangue. I've never harangued the people. Are you kidding me? I don't do that. We're going to trust God or close the doors. And the moment we stop trusting God, we need to close the doors.
That's right.
Are you with me? We're trusting God. We're believing God. And I believe God's good. I don't believe he's bad. I don't think God's going to let us go under. He's going to take care of us because we're going to keep trusting him. I don't know where everything's going to happen, but I know this. I'm going to trust God whatever happens. And God's got a million ways of making it happen. I don't have to know how. I just have to know who.
That's right.
Amen. Deuteronomy 28. Found it? Notice what it says here. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm just about a fourth way through my message, and I'm halfway through my time. Deuteronomy 28 says this. It says, now if you will, it will come to pass. Everybody say it will.
It will.
He didn't say maybe. He said it will. It will come to pass. That if you diligently obey or hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. See, if you'll put God first, if you'll obey him, if you'll do what he says to do, if you'll diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, observe carefully to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you. Wow. Notice he says, you go after God, the blessings will go after you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So we're not going after money, we're going after God.
Yeah.
And God's blessing us. He's blessing what we do. He's prospering what we put our hand to. He's blessing our business. He's blessing the job we work on, whatever the case may be. He's blessing, you can take it out of finance. He's blessing our families. He's blessing our marriage. Because first, we're hearkening to his voice. We're obeying his commands. We're doing that which is right in his sight. I wish or pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in his sight, keep his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you, and blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be coming in and going out, and the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, the work of your hand. He'll cause the rain to come down your land in the season. Bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Woo! Just because of priorities being right. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to Psalms 35 if you have your Bibles with you and write notes. I want to put this down. Those are just three scriptures I want to go over about priority when it comes to finances or financial blessing or wealth, as it were. First priorities, just get right with God, amen? That's always the message, never changes. I don't care what we're teaching on, you need to get right with God. You need a better marriage, get right with God, amen? You need a better relationship with the people you work with, you get right with God. Hello? But what I'm saying, what God is saying here is if you get right with God, he will bless you. It pays to get right with God. It really has benefits. There are benefits to serving God. That old saying, crime does not pay. It is so true. It does pay, but it doesn't pay good. It has bad pay, bad benefits. Crime does, but serving God has benefits. Hallelujah. In fact, I'm thinking of Psalm 103. It starts out, it says, first verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Third verse says, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destructions and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, there are benefits from serving the Lord. But priority is serve the Lord. Amen? So if you have financial trouble, that's the point we're making here, financial needs in your life, first thing, get right with God. Search your heart. Make sure your heart's right. Are you putting God's first? And when you're wanting help with your finances, is your ultimate goal just getting your bills paid? Is that, Lord, help me with the bills? Help me. Now, I know there's a time where that's right there and you got to get your bills paid. I understand that. But you should have a longer-term goal, not just a short-term goal. that's immediately in your face, and you got bill collectors, you know, calling, and you need help. I understand that. You need to pray God will help you with that. But you ought to have a goal of, now, God, I want to get past all this. Short term, long term. Amen? I want to get past this having to come to you every time about this. Lord, help me handle my finances. Help me, give me wisdom concerning my finances, and help me help others. I'm determined in the name of Jesus, I'm not just going to get this paid, but I'm going to help somebody else get their bills paid. Amen. That day's coming in my life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
That's having your heart right. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Psalms 35, verse 27. You ought to know this one. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Do you favor God's righteous cause? Are you for the gospel? I am. How about you?
Amen.
Well, we ought to shout for joy. That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God doesn't just finally give in and bless you financially. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. Y'all see that? And you and I who favor God's righteous cause, we ought to be continually saying, let the Lord be magnified, takes pleasure in my prosperity. Instead of, oh God, I wish you'd bless me. Oh God, I wish you'd help me. Oh God, I wish you'd do something. Oh Lord, come down, Jesus, help me. Hello. We ought to be saying, Lord, be magnified. We magnify you. You take pleasure in my prosperity. Everybody say, continually say.
Continuously.
There's an instruction right out of the Bible. There's a scripture for us to say something. And what we're supposed to say is, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God blesses me, and God loves to bless me. I don't know why, but he does. I'm just God's favorite, and that's all there is to it. Well, you are too. We're all God's favorite. Amen?
Amen?
We're all the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. And I don't know why, but when something good happens, I know God's done something. When something bad happens, I don't believe he's behind that. But when something good happens, I know God just reached down and blessed me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, the whole thing about Jesus coming to earth is heaven. Is it Jeremiah said this, I think? When Jesus came down to earth, it was, heaven bent down and kissed the earth, and you and I got caught in the middle of the smack.
Yes.
Isn't that right? So that's what we're talking about. Of course God wants to bless us. We got to get this out of our thinking that God wants us poor. God wants our heart right, sure. He wants us serving him, of course. He wants us helping others because we're supposed to be like him. And to be like God is to give to others and to help others and to lift others and bless others. But to do that, you and I need to prosper. Amen?
We've
got to get beyond our bills and our needs and our wants and get past that into his, you know, to his will and his desire for our lives. So he takes pleasure in my prosperity. Y'all see that? Turn to Isaiah 48. And while you're turning there, I'll quote you a couple other verses. Isaiah 48. Think about this. I'm thinking Isaiah 48. I'm thinking of Romans 8:32. Don't turn there. But Romans 8:32 tells us that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I mean, if you sent Jesus to start with, to restore us, to put us back in right standing, to get us back in our position as children of the living God, sons and daughters of our God, get us back in control instead of being under control of this world. Get us back in authority. Then if he did that by sending Jesus, how shall not also with him freely give us all things? And he told us it was his good pleasure to give us. In fact, that's in Luke 12:32. He said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not to hold it back, not to keep it from you, but to give it to you. It's his good pleasure. But it comes through a process. It comes through priority. It comes through your heart being right. That's what we're saying. That's why I want to start out with those three verses that we talked about there in 3 John 2 and Matthew 6:33 and Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and 2. It starts with first you getting right, first you hearing what he says and doing what he says, and then all the rest of it comes. Amen? In Isaiah 48:17, you're going to love this. You ready? I don't know if you're ready for this or not. Y'all really ready for this? Okay. 48:17, Isaiah 48 says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. In other words, if you go by the way he leads, he will profit you. He teaches you to prosper, to succeed, and to profit. That's what the word means. And then he even reiterates that in the 18th verse, says, oh, that you had listened and heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your life would have been so much better if you'd just gone my way. Because I teach my way. I teach how to profit. I teach how to prosper. I teach how to go over, not under. I'll teach you to be the best you can be if you'll listen to me. Amen? So, and he's compelling us to do that, just that. He said, oh, that you would have listened to me. I wish you would have listened to me. Your life would have been so much better. And our life is better. Amen? When we do listen to God. Hey, Deuteronomy 8. Wow. Two verses, and we'll wrap this up. I actually had some more I wanted to get to, but goodness, we got to beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. Deuteronomy 8, and this actually is talking about how that God blessed the children of Israel, how their gold multiplied, their silver multiplied, their houses multiplied. They'd gotten into the land of Canaan. Actually, Deuteronomy 28 is prophesying how they will go into the land of Canaan, and this is what's going to happen to them when they get there. And he says, now, when you get there, just remember now, when you do, you live in houses you didn't build, and you reap fields that you didn't plant, and you get in there, and your gold's multiplied, your silver's multiplied, your cattle's multiplied, because that's going to happen when you get to the promised land. When you get into God's promises, that's what's going to happen. He said, you just remember now, don't forget me. Don't think, and he even says this, that the power of your own hand has gotten you this might. You know, you did this because you're such a good guy. Or a great lady, you know, you just have all these talents and all these. No, well, your talent comes from God. Well, I work my fingers to the bone. Well, that's fine, but your bones came from God too. And so did your fingers, amen? So anything you have, you receive from him. So you always want to give him glory whenever you succeed and go over, because God gave you what you have to succeed with, to make it with, to profit with, to prosper with. And he says this, he said, beware now, in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, he says the 18th verse, 8:18. He said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Let me submit to you that part of the covenant is that you prosper. Now, people can take that wrong or right, but the fact remains that's part of the covenant. Part of the covenant is that you prosper. That's God's will. That's what he wants. He prays that you prosper being healthy as your soul prospers. He says if you'll seek him first, all these things be added to you. And for those of you that hadn't heard, and I can't imagine having not heard, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Wow. That's Jesus speaking. What did Jesus do? He helped, gave the poor, opened up blind eyes, healed cripples. Wow, he even paid taxes with gold out of a fish's mouth. Dick, that ought to stir you up, much you fish. You check every one of them when you pull them in, just to be, you know. But, I mean, he's got ways of prospering us if we'll just trust him and put him first. Amen. And he does want us to pray. God gets nothing out of your poverty. It doesn't bless him. It doesn't further the cause of Christ for you to go under, for you to lose your house and lose your car and lose your job and be without money. That does not help God. It does not help you. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Why in the world we try to make that spiritual? I don't know. It's totally unscriptural. I mean, to make that spiritual, God came to change that. He came to make us kings and priests, man. Come on. He came to meet needs, not create them. So why don't we allow God to bless us? Can you stand to be blessed? Amen. That's a good question. Sometimes you've got to change your theology, but you need to change it and get it in line with the scripture. Amen? Let God bless you so you can help others. Woo! Okay, we're going to get into some of the ways that God blesses next week, if the Lord wills. If not, we'll go to heaven. And that'll be fine, too. If the rapture takes place, we'll just all go to heaven. But we're going to talk about some of the ways that God... You know, God blesses us through men. That's one thing we're going to talk about, different ways that whatever God does, it always is, seems to be through men. It's through job, through inheritance, through something. He uses men. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your bosom. You know, so God uses the world for our benefit, but we open up those channels as we begin to obey him, do the right thing. You go to work, somebody, a man or a woman, somebody, writes you a check. You know, so he blesses them to bless you as you do certain things, like show up, do the job, you know, those kinds of things. But anyway, we're going to be teaching on finances biblically, God's financial plan, and just take care of some of this. Today we talk about priorities, and we talked about God's will. His priority is get your heart right. God's will is to bless you.